break. Oh, look at us. That clock is fast. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
How fast?
And I think at this point, I think we're ready to roll. And we've got action here on the microphone. Uh-oh. Sorry, turn it off.
You can't do it when you want to. I don't think you did it that quick.
Okay. Well, good afternoon. I want to welcome everyone to the June 23rd, 2026 regular meeting of the Port of Kingston Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chair. Please identify yourself by stating your name. We would like to remind everyone that while we greatly value your input, the commissioners will not be responding to questions and comments during our regular session meetings. This practice ensures that meetings run efficiently and within the scheduled agenda. The executive director or a commissioner will follow up with you after the meeting. Thank you for your understanding and continued participation. If you would like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to the regularly scheduled meeting. Please submit your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. We have a preliminary agenda and is subject to change, and I'd like to call the meeting to order at 4:46. And if we could stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and our flag is here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioner, we could amend the agenda to have a presentation.
Discussion on that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that okay?
That's good. I think it would just be in our discussion items there. Yeah. And so great. That's a super suggestion. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. We have a draft agenda before us, and with a amendment to said agenda, entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Super. Okay. So moving on, public comment. Citizens may address the commission regarding any item related to port business, including items on the agenda. We have a public person with us, but he'll be maybe presenting. That's you, Clint.
He's reading.
You're all right. Okay. Great. Moving right along. Consent agenda. Consent agenda matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. And that the items are A and B. A, approved May 27th, 2026 regular meeting minutes. And then item B, approved May 2026 warrants in the amount of $146,505.26, which is inclusive of $98,010.86 and $48,494.40. And then finally, $127,069.37 in EFT payments.
If we have a question about any of this, should we wait until the financial report?
If it's related to finances, not specifically warrants, I think the warrants we need to.
Is it something in the consent agenda? We have to remove it.
Yeah.
Is it a particular one?
One just item? Do you want the $2,000 for the public market?
So we have to remove it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we remove.
Yeah, but we can approve it after that discussion, as I understand, right?
After the financial?
Yeah. Well, if that's where we're going to discuss it, you know, the the instructions are typically maybe reviewed, removed for the consent agenda.
With no separate discussion, and discussion is desired, the item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner.
But that's not on the commission. Yeah, it is. Okay, warrants. That is.
Yeah, because that's within the warrants.
So we can just take it out and put it on for the next meeting, right?
Sure.
But can I get an answer to this at this meeting?
You will have an answer at this meeting.
Okay.
It's for the, it was the 2008 that the commission approved last time for the marketing for the Ollie the Harbor Seal program.
Right, right, okay.
Oh, okay. Does that work?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm good. Okay.
So I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as written.
Very good. I second that.
Very good. Super. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excellent. Well, I can't remember a last meeting where we've not had an action item, but that's actually kind of nice, because there's been lots of action on my front anyway. I can get into that later. Okay, off to item 7, discussion items. And Greg, we've got Whisper Creek.
Okay. So I just thought I'd provide an update. So there's been a lot of discussion about Whisper Creek and whether or not it's fish bearing, and it's affected the realignment project. It actually affects many of the landowners in our port district, and it affects the port.
Yeah.
Because there's all sorts of conjecture about how, you know, that runoff from the ravine, where it goes. And so what we did was, because it created so much ambiguity because it affects the port, we went out and we asked for a consultant to do an independent assessment, biological assessment of that, of Whisper Creek. So we have that in hand. I'll send it to the commission.
Okay.
You know, who did it?
Ecological Land Services.
Good.
Oh, that's good.
Basically, in a nutshell, it's not fish bearing, which is in alignment with previous findings.
Right.
Right. So you'll get that, but that's what you need to know, is that their conclusion is that it's obviously it's not fish bearing. So it should be able to be taken off the table as far as any sort of a barrier for moving forward on realignment. They have other issues. That's beyond me.
Right.
As far as that goes, that should not be a consideration going forward. And to some extent, it seemed like it was being used as a justification and created a lot of new questions, supposedly, which I thought had already actually been resolved previously. But this adds to the body of evidence that has already been conducted on that to say, okay, this is not fish bearing, and we should be able to move forward. And the other thing is that if you read the detail of it, hopefully the Suquamish Tribe, Fort Gamblescom Tribe, WashDOT, WDFW, all the parties, the county for that, mean kind of validates the county. It should just lay this to rest, I hope, going forward and in perpetuity, because the study goes way back in time to 1895, I think, or something like that.
Oh, this study went back in time to...
Yeah.
Oh.
And tracks all the way through all the decades, right?
Excellent.
For all the information when they do have the data.
Yeah.
And so it's just nice, because I think it should help all the landowners, help the Port District, and also we don't need to spend a bunch of time and money, more time and money, pursuing something which is not going to bear fish. Right. You know, it's not going to help us. So I think it's a distraction from saying, hey, what should we focus on that will actually help the environment and help with fish recovery, salmon recovery especially, and let's put our efforts there. But also, it shouldn't be a barrier to being able to execute on the realignment portion of SR 104 that came out of all that money and effort that's gone for already by the county and by the state, all the partners Kitsap Transit, Wash State Ferries, WashDOT, the Kitsap County and the port, right? We were all party to that on behalf of the taxpayers in Kingston. So I'll send that out, and then what we'll do is we'll also send that same, the study, it's public information. We'll distribute it with the ask that WDFW, which seems to be leading the effort for WashDOT, for the county and others, that they hopefully they invite us to the table since we're affected. You know, kind of talking about all of our property and our assets, our tenants, and on discussions with regard to assets that fall within the port district going forward.
I think also the fact that we have a economic development hat is really important in this regard, because I would not develop anything without that being resolved.
Yeah.
And I think it's a barrier.
And it does really create unnecessary uncertainty.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just, and there, you know, there are other things that, you know, you could, maybe a laundry list, right, or whatever. There are other issues that really do have merit, but this has put a lot of time and effort, and it's really based on more on conjecture. But I think this was a very thorough assessment done. We tried to be sure that it was really thorough, and so I think it is a good, you know, you'll be able to look at it and read it. Then if you have any questions and you come back, then I'll we'll revisit it with the consultant. But I'll distribute it to, we'll send it out to everybody, just almost like a CEPA decision.
Oh, yeah.
We'll send it to the same people.
Yeah.
Everybody, if you get a CEPA notification from the port, you're going to get this copied on this, so it's a pretty big list. And then we'll send a separate email just to WDFW saying, hey, we would like to discuss this, you know, with staff going forward.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're in discussions with them as opposed to having separate discussions with Port Neal, Skalm Tribe, Suquamish, and some of the other entities without including the board. So it'd be nice if they include us.
Right. Yeah.
But it's pretty clear and conclusive as far as I'm concerned.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm just dropping a note down here. Sorry.
Is the ELS respected by the tribes?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, they're respected by the state of Washington that does all the assessments. I mean, they do any number of assessments that goes before the DNR review board, which actually does make they are the ultimate arbiter about all water in the state of Washington. And they the DNR.
Yeah.
And that review board is comprised of tribal representatives, and that was assessed a long time ago too. Sorry,
so ELS's review board is comprised of
The DNR
review
board.
Okay.
Yeah, DNR review board, which is WDFW, Department of Ecology, Department of Natural Resources, tribal representatives.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of everybody's at the table for that, and they did a complete comprehensive assessment of the whole state. Then people at like the county, they may come up with a localized, more detailed assessment of their bodies of water at every county. You know, maybe that, right?
Yeah.
Or cities,
yeah,
for that matter. City of Seattle does it. But they're the ultimate decision maker, or they're supposed to be. And it's so even if WDFW comes up with something that may contradict this, they have to go to the review board, so this will get submitted to the DNR review board.
Good.
So it'll become part of the public record.
Right.
But ELS has done all sorts of assessments for, they're very, very qualified.
Having conversations with them at the conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, that's great. Super. Thank you, Greg, very much. Mary, do you have anything else, or?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Clint, you want to have a rotary discussion with us?
I have a discussion.
Great.
So I have some handouts for one. Save money on paper and trees.
Thank you.
Oh, we're not done.
Oh my gosh.
There's more.
I will just leave it right there.
But wait, there's more.
Chris, I have one for you to have after this. So Thanks for allowing some time. Obviously, we want to get everybody up to speed on where we are with the North Kitsap United project. We are not dead, we are not done, and we're very much alive and moving forward. So I have a lot of updates, exciting ones to share, that I think are very important to not only the key of what the port is all about, economic development, but just kind of where we are and what's to come. This is what we're calling our quiet phase. We're trying to involve the power partners at B before we kind of make this a big public splash. So this is a lot of insight that not a lot of people have access to information yet, but soon it will be very much a part of what's to come. So as you know, the county said no to the rezone, which said no to the gift of land, which then said, well, now we have to pivot. We have been silently fundraising for funds, and I have sort of the draft agreement as far as the land acquisition. It essentially will be 100 acres of active recreation space and 318 acres of open continued space that will be acquired by a conservancy. They may or may not have three letters to their name that stand for GPC that might buy the rest of that property, and that would extend out the entire North Kitsap or Port Gamble Heritage Park in perpetuity. We're hopeful that we'll close on this in a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months. We'll see. We're basically buying the land at $15,000 an acre, so we've got to come up with $1.45 million. I think I have in hand $1.3 million today. So
wow.
I'm waiting on four or five other commitments to put us over the edge, and therefore now we control our own destiny. We have the land. So that's the first step. I had a big meeting with the Sklom tribe on June 8th, and what I found was we may have had some gatekeepers that were not getting all the information to the tribal council. They could not help but be excited about this project for a number of reasons. So I'm still in conversation with Kelly Sullivan about what is the tribal council's next adventure and what's there, but I am very encouraged by the dialogue, the discussion, where they are mindset-wise, and they definitely want to be a part of this project. The Rotary Club just recently at their board meeting committed $100,000, at least as an initial splash for a capital campaign to make sure that this happens. My goal is to go to each Rotary Club and challenge them to take part in this community effort, they being Bainbridge, Polsbo, Silverdale, etc. Use those funds to then leverage Rotary International for grants. Mm-hmm. As you probably know, a lot of times major projects that you see all over the United States have Rotary symbols on them. That's because of Rotary International.
Yeah.
A little back story of Rotary International. We all pay dues that go into a trust in perpetuity. It gets invested for 3 years, and then only the interest on that trust gets put out. It's an incredible organization. It's the only nonprofit that is absolutely 100% funded. There is no administrative cost. So what's nice is once we put money and energy into a project, we can ask for that as a matching grant, and that is a big help to making things happen. So that is our big intent to do. I had a meeting with Kiwanis. Kiwanis is coming up with a number also to come to it, as well as their under individuals, which is exciting. I have a verbal commitment from a local person of $1 million endowment so that we in perpetuity can take care of these lands, these properties, so that once it's
very
built,
important.
We have a conduit to make sure. The YMCA board has agreed to manage, operate, and maintain the fields in perpetuity. They would do that. While they're not there on the property site, they would be the actual owner of the land, at least at this time. Mm-hmm. And eventually when they do come on and then build that, then they have on site and it'll be kind of run similar to like Gig Harbor or Silverdale.
Oh, right.
Which is great. So yeah. They're definitely on board. There is a local car vendor that is likely to donate a car as a raffle item for us to not only market, but raise funds for the project. Mm-hmm. He is envisioning to wrap the car with a type of wrap that would actually sell everything about the project. where it's located, QR codes, where to donate, you name it.
Great.
And it may be not a car, but a truck. And that way we as volunteers can drive it to any location, anywhere in the county to advertise, and it'll sell itself.
Wow.
So we're really excited about that. I had a big meeting with the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation. Mm-hmm. I don't have the updates I was hoping to by this meeting, but they are very encouraged by this project, and maybe at a minimum we can hire them to actually construct the entire facility. So as you know, they have done 150 projects in all of the United States. They have, this is all they do in this type of entity, and so we can't help but be excited because they know what they're doing. I, as a volunteer, don't and have no idea how to construct fields. I just know that we need to raise funds. So one of my connections, Chuck, is going to talk to their board to see if the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation would also be a partner in what not only funding, but making this project happen. I had a meeting at KBA, the Housing Builders Association. I have another presentation to the entire board. They can't help but be excited because obviously the ancillary benefits of the builders. Our hope is that there can be some sort of partnership where we're not only employing these people locally to do this project, to partner with the Cal Ripken Foundation, but also see if there's in-kind donations to help make this project even more attainable from a financial benefit. We have local companies that want to do a roundup. Companies like Valley Nursery, not Roundup the spray, but Roundup on their activity of sales. So we have lots of vendors that are eagerly active to announce this sort of health in partnership and perpetuity. The goal is to make the more formal splash of the capital campaign when our Rotary Clubs does their fall auction. Mm-hmm. We normally do a spring auction. We push it to the fall. So we're going to make that sort of a, get all of the partners involved, have people like yourself there, other members that are passionate about the project, do the unveil and let it, the entire world know. Hopefully we'll get some very high level athletes to speak, other topics that are timely of this sort of a topic. But that is on October 11th. And it is at the Port Gamble
the pavilion.
Pavilion, yeah. Uh-huh. And I believe it's going to be from 1 to 4 p.m. So if you can leave that on your calendar, we would love to
that's
have
a good
you.
Head notice there.
Yeah.
That's great.
So that's where we'll make a formal public announcement. We did apply for the RCO grant through the state of Washington. That was written by the YMCA. We also plan to have a meeting with the county, whether it's Rafe and or Scott and his team, to talk about, okay, great, we have the land, this is the plans, tell us what exactly stands in our way, what should we be prepared for, what other things do we need to have ready to go when we actually file for permitting and such. Mm-hmm. So we've already done one of those meetings, but this would be more of a real, like, actual meeting, but that's part of the next step. In the packet I provided is just some old news for some of you, some of it's just a good refresher to see, but you know, the site of the actual map of where we're looking, both active and passive recreation.
Yeah.
The original map, which I'm hopeful to have a newer one set forth by the Cal Ripken team so that they have a better design that gets into the nitty-gritty details, which also has a description of all the actual costs of the entire amenities for this entire project so that I know exactly what we're doing. You're probably aware of KEDA did an economic study. In that study, KEDA basically said the project just on the YMCA build out alone, not the actual fields and the active recreation part, which you have an annual tournament, that's $100 million to our local community. Mm. Kind of a big deal.
In jobs.
Yes.
And jobs, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And that also comes, as you know, at a time when we have a MB&T problem. We have an $8 million county deficit,
yep.
A $3 billion state deficit, and a nearly $40 trillion
federal
deficit. If they won't do it, then who will?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the answer is going to be us. So we're not giving up on this thing. We're going to see it through, but it's important that you know kind of where we are and what's next.
That's super.
Again, it's youth fields, it's active recreation, a dog park, a disc golf course, an ADA playground, a picnic area, you know, things that will bring people together in an open space. We're hopeful, like I said, on the capital campaign versus a planning meeting permitting. If that planning meeting goes well and we actually have sort of a formal agreement with all the parties, maybe it could be at the end of the year. And then more importantly, if that does happen and the county follows through with the 90-day permitting process and all the other fun that comes with that, as you know, maybe that's not like hold your breath time, but we'll see. Maybe we could have usage of the fields by December of 28.
Wow.
So on the WIN page, it says capital campaign launch September, but it's actually October.
It's actually October now.
Okay, yeah. So I want to make sure I got it right.
Yeah, you got it right. Since this is running through Rotary, we are always accepting checks and any types of donations. Those are tax deductible. We have a GoFundMe account. There's a picture of that in this packet. We have a stock and real estate donation, but we can accept those as donations also. If you have a donor advice fund, we'll also accept donor advice funds. We are doing annual pledges, which we did here through the Village Green, so we know this is a multi-year process. And then there are some people that have talked about, well, I want to give, but I want to give after I'm no longer here with us. So estate planning and legacy bequests are also things that we've got set up and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously know how to get a hold of me. Our ask is we want you guys to be a partner in the voice of this. You know, we know you're about economic development. We know that it's just outside of the Port District. Those are certainly obstacles, but certainly we know how we can work around and work with one another. And so mm-hmm. that's our kind of end goal of what it is. The other packet is just a how I can help. So this is sort of a everything that is about the project, and this is kind of our final draft. We haven't made it official, but inside it is everything about the project, all the different levels of sponsorship. As you know, there's lots of terrain. We can envision having lots of rock walls, and so we have creative ideas of how to promote those that do give to make that project happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's different levels of sponsorship. If people want to do in-kind sponsorships, I'm a business owner, I have dirt, I want to, you know, give construction or electrical in-kind donations, that's ways that we can take and accept funds. Maybe I don't have funds, but there's other ways that I can help. So that's sort of a, here's a draft email of how I can get people to know about who we are and what we're about. I want to post on social media so people know. Again, not ready to do it yet, but that's a draft of how I can get, you know, to do, because a lot of people say, I don't know how to make a mention of this. If I want to text a friend, we're also selling bricks similar to just behind you that we did here at the, the Village Green. And then last but not least, there is a page on here of the why this, why now, why here, so that people can kind of have some answers as to, you know, why, you know, I thought it was dead, why is it reborn? Or I thought that it was supposed to go to Polesville, why not in Polesville? Like all of the questions and concerns we have. So I just wanted to provide everybody with sort of an update of everything that is NKU and Rotary at this time.
Wow, that is impressive. That rendering.
Yeah.
That looks like a photo. Oh, here it is. It built. Very, very cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Any questions at this point? Or?
Yeah. From previous times, you have us on board as supporting this project. Okay, because I just want to make sure that that was.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything we could do now? Or going forward?
Well, from the RCO point of view, you know, if there is a way to
create
a
support.
Letter of support, that could be a big help.
I'll reach out to you which grant program that you applied for.
Yeah, I'm confident it's the active recreation one.
Okay.
And there is a separate one that was done on, I think it was the NK Trail Association that applied for part of the trees and open space, but I don't know all the categories.
Yeah. It's kind of a working community forest, you know, idea in the open space is GPC's jam, but that.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
So who's on the hook for building the parking lot, the road improvements, et cetera, et cetera?
You can say that's Rotary and YMCA at this point.
Okay. Didn't used to be.
Well, that was the downside of the turn it down.
Yeah.
And most people don't realize how many millions of dollars that turned away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Which is really unfortunate. And by the way, that KEDA project, had it included the housing, it would have been a $400 million economic benefit. So that was kind of an unfortunate decision that was made.
Yeah.
And by the way, I keep hearing the catchword affordable housing. I find it a little fascinating that the only solution to affordable housing, in my opinion, is a supply and demand game. Mm-hmm. You have a little bit more housing, then costs don't skyrocket because it's too few after, or no, it's too many after too few. So.
Well, and all the ADUs, and yeah, I mean, whole vision is very forward thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but.
Yeah.
Well, but the ADU. You know, the problematic part was about ADUs because you have to do a conditional use permit for each one. So that's kind of a conundrum with the density idea, right? So so that is what it is, you know. But ADUs on themselves, you know, in a rural area are, you know, more for a matter of, right?
Matter of
providing that affordability and the whole point is that, you know, the focus was on, hey, let's get a family in here that then we can switch houses. So when mom and dad raise the kids, then the kids end up, you know, going into the big house and mom and dad go into the smaller house and the kids are there. It's a model that we need as a community.
Absolutely.
We really need it.
But they brought up at KRCC this last month that the ADUs aren't just being used as ADUs. They're being used as primary residences.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're creating smaller, they're talking not only about going up to 1,000 square feet for them, but they're also talking about creating smaller plans, 300, 400 square feet, so that they can put them on the lots in Bremerton and Fort Orchard that are too small for a larger ADU.
Yeah.
But they got to figure out the infrastructure in order to...
Well, the infrastructure and, you know, each ADU needs a two-bedroom system for septage, and so, you know, if there's a way to, you know, if it's in a truly urban area, then we should be able to figure out how to get sewer systems to those places, and then there you go. I mean, that's a true benefit right there, you know, because you don't need a special conditional use permit in the urban area. It's a permitted use outright, so you can really densify that way, which is great.
One outside of the box idea that we sort of started thinking about is taking the home units that land have and maybe transferring it to another location. And that could be another real
density credits can be sold, yes.
Yep, so again, another outside of the box concept where we didn't lose it, it didn't get lost. No. It's just we have to be more creative in how we do it. So
yeah, that's good.
Excellent.
Oh man, you guys have been busy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
This is really impressive.
Super great.
I am impressed.
Yeah, it's over 5 minutes.
Any other questions or thoughts or? Thank you so much.
Yeah,
we really appreciate it.
We'll draft a couple letters of support, and then if there's any other things going forward too, and the commission can decide, you know, if you want to renew on a resolution of support, you know, by resolution,
it's
this effort, just from an economic development standpoint, just as we have done previously. I mean, we stated it publicly three times, but we could do it by resolution too, so.
I think not a bad idea, if you guys think that we could bring that to our next
good idea.
Work session, because the project's changed so much in relation to its configuration. Now, I think this is something that, you know,
yeah,
hey, let's renew our enthusiasm and support around the project.
This being a publicly recorded meeting that people listen to, it's kind of out there.
Understood.
Yeah.
So if we bring it up at the next work session, we don't do the resolution until the next
thing. We'll take action in work sessions.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So we could then our next work session have it prepared, and then at our next regular meeting, then we could implement, right?
That's what
so,
I was imagining.
Yeah, super. Great. Awesome, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
That's great.
Okay, we're off to item 8, financial report. And Greg, are you gonna go over that with us?
Yep.
Super.
Okay, so financial statements for May, year-to-date.
Yep.
Were reviewed by the finance director.
Is that page 10 in the packet?
I think before so. Before it starts.
Well, I'll just go over the highlights.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
The highlights don't really refer to each page individually. This is just a summary, but it's all found within the income statement and, you know, between the balance sheet and the
balance sheet. Yeah.
So cash and equivalents total $1.617 million. Debt remaining from the limited tax general obligation bond, which is actually a loan that Kitsap Bank has. We have with Kitsap Bank is $509,500. Net cash reserves. So if you were to back out that debt from our current cash equivalents, that would give us a net cash reserves of $1.108 million. And then, you know, we had spent just over $1 million recently out of the cash reserves in order to acquire the Ohio Street parking. So profit P&L year to date, gross operating revenue, including cost of goods sold, totaled $1.198 million. Total operating expense before depreciation totaled $1.167 million. So net operating income before depreciation was $31,468. Mm-hmm. And it's a loss of $216,649 after depreciation.
All right. Yeah.
So depreciation runs, you know, a little bit short of $50,000 a month. It's $467,000 a year, so you divide that by 12. Non-operating income. Expenses, so property taxes, that would be lease interest, investment income was $189,923. So the net loss year to date would be $26,726. And that's for May. And as we know, when we get into the third quarter, that's when we start really usually making the money that determines really how profitable we are for the year. So we're heading into the sweet spot this coming third quarter. Bond payments in June were $41,165.95. And $32,500 of that went to principal, and $8,665.95 went to interest expense.
Mm-hmm.
So the debt remaining at the year end of 2026, we should have $444,500 remaining on that loan.
Right.
Which is, we refer to it as LTGO bond, but we never went through the bonding process because that bank just basically decided to take on all that themselves, the debt.
Yeah.
So they never really issued a bond, they just took it on and took on the paper.
Right.
So, so far, I mean, we're kind of ahead of budget and, you know, it's looking good for the third quarter. And we're working on getting the parking lot online here so that it's better managed overall.
Mm-hmm.
Just with kind of changing the layout a little bit, it'll be better utilized. We should probably increase the number of parking stalls. We'll put up signage, we'll number all the stalls, We have wheel stops, so that'll be going in by this week. So it'll look, and then we'll put down a bunch of rock and come, you know, pack it down.
Better it'll rock, because there's round, rolly rock there now, and it's not good.
And it's grass.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it'll look like a parking lot.
Yeah.
So that, we are eventually going to probably relocate the nail salon. It's something we have to really consider, because if we have parking demand, it takes up about 20, over 20 stalls. So, but for now and through the end of the year, she has a place to stay. And then, but we'll give her a long runway before we displace anybody. Hopefully we can find some place that, mm-hmm. you know, to make the transition really effective, mm-hmm. real easy for her.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We told her, don't stress. She was stressed, but we talked to her, and we have ongoing kind of conversations with her.
And who is her?
The nail salon.
Oh, okay.
So if we remove the nail salon, then we have 68, 69 parking stalls.
Mm.
So we gain over 20 stalls. So financially, and just from an operational standpoint,
yeah.
for parking, it actually increases parking downtown pretty substantially.
And I've had questions about downtown connectivity and parking, and is that going to get sorted for additional spots that people can go in and pay to park and be downtown, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You'll be managed just like the rest of our parking.
Okay. Gotcha.
And, you know, the parking software, you know, we still have, you know, individuals that struggle with the technology to try to get it up and running. But not, you know, when you look at it, we do literally thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of successful transactions. But sometimes you hear only, you know, some people that are unhappy with it. But we try to resolve that, and we have people available to help them. If I'm walking out, I see somebody struggling, I stop, walk over, try to help them. All the staff are kind of really being proactive about it. If people get a parking ticket, they can dispute it.
Yeah.
And if it's legitimate, we're pretty forgiving. It's just to try to get people to actually, you know, to pay. And so there was kind of a long history. I think a lot of people were used and didn't have to pay.
Mm.
It wasn't really enforced. Mm.
Gotcha.
But it's going well. And so we'll see that as we kind of move forward, it should help pay back on that investment for the parking, but it also provides a lot of value to the people that, the businesses that they're there, and also to the people that live here, and also commuters and tourists to come visit.
Yeah.
So we're gonna try to work on signage and how things flow in Kingston, so that, you know, we work with the business owners, the chamber, and everybody, so that when you're coming into Kingston, whether you're coming over from the Edmonds side or whether you're coming from the Olympic Peninsula side, they know that there's, you know, just like 4th of July, you know, they don't mention us, you know, in the parking. Hey, park at the port. You know, we have, so this increased our parking stalls to, you know, to over like 370 parking stalls.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So there's a lot of capacity there, and then we'll be able to actually give hard numbers as to what the utilization is going forward. Because they'll all be rolled in under our parking software. But I really do think that, you know, and then as you see the development coming through from Arborwood, for example, if, you know, we're getting a lot of pressure on these assets, right? So we're trying to accommodate all the different users, whether it be sport fishermen or sport fishers, commercial fishers. And this just provides kind of a relief valve, especially because we have peak periods, we turn away a lot of business. And we're seeing like crazy amount of demand when we have the, when they had the Pyre Festival.
Pyre Festival, yeah.
It was a good example. That was intense.
Yeah.
And it was good to use. We could have filled that thing up nonstop the whole day, over the weekend even, because then the next day we had the public market, really well attended. Every event now, I mean, I think it really helps as an event venue for people to be able to have some place just to be able to go and enjoy.
Yeah.
So it'll really, I think it'll help during, we're trying to hustle right now, so we have it ready, definitely by the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
But any and all other events that we have, it's like super beneficial to have that parking right there. Mm-hmm. But it does help the downtown businesses, evenings and weekends, you know, it's better managed. But there'll be some, it'll look a lot quite a bit different, and it'll look good.
That's great.
By the end of the week.
Awesome. Okay, carrying on here, Commissioner reports. ladies first.
We did, Mary.
I always say that.
I don't have anything to report.
Nothing, okay.
Finally ready to come to meetings.
Good.
Yep.
Laura?
So I went to KRCC.
Oh, right.
There wasn't a whole lot of substance, that a few things. They talked a lot about the affordable housing, the ADUs that were going in, and I said some of the stuff already that they had talked about, that they were possibly thinking about creating the smaller ones for those small lots in Bremerton and Port Orchard, and also possible plans for duplexes in the future.
For what?
Duplexes.
Duplexes, okay.
And that they had determined that pre-approving the plans was saving anywhere from $8,000 to $30,000, because you wouldn't need an architect because they already had these plans available. And they were already pre-approved by the planning department.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie Bozeman is the one that pointed out that they need more infrastructure to support the increased density of the population growth. And they also talked about the possibility in the future of creating kits for these houses, which would lower the costs. When they did the survey years ago, when they first started this, it was lowered by about $100,000, and they figured it possibly could save $175,000.
Oh, because it's a cut package that's just ready to
and
assemble.
And pre-approved, and yeah.
Wow.
So, but as I also pointed out, they said they're not just being used as ADUs, they're being used as primary residences for people. Talked about the board retreat, which is September 17th, and the November 12th is a legislative reception. And then there was some talk about the difference between Seattle versus other states, and like response times for police and things like that, and that when the police is called in Chicago, that they show up all the time, and in Seattle they only show up part of the time, and that permitting has been pretty questionable here, but easier in other states. And so then someone got upset and said, we shouldn't be comparing ourselves. You know, it was kind of, but you know, it's good to hear what's going on around the country.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But they said too that, which I found interesting, they said that we were on the wrong end of the list in friendliness for jobs and businesses. We were ranked 46 out of 50.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Where did they get those numbers, Laura?
That Department of Ecology is who they were talking to.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Regulation, my notes in that part aren't that good. I know at one point I realized that where I was sitting, the camera, I was sitting right behind the speaker.
And so no, no.
When I looked at the screen, I was there, front and center. So I got up and moved. That was very disconcerting.
Yeah, yeah.
They also pointed out that part of the reason why some other states have better things is that they have the income tax, the state income tax, and we do not. And
yes,
there were differences that way. And then they talked about the military recently prescribed the 3,000-foot no-fly zone outside of the bases that increased. And they put up a link now that you can go on to submit a request to fly a drone within the buffer zone. So they have that online now, so people can go on and create a request. Because remember, I talked about that last meeting, that they had created that. So that was it.
Does Iran have to do that?
Who? For
does
what?
Iran have to do that for drones?
I have no idea.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I don't think they do.
Playtime.
But it's kitsap.gov. On kitsap.gov.
Gotcha. Did you have something you wanted to add,
no,
Mary?
I don't.
Yeah, okay. If I go back here to June 9th, we had our work session. June 22nd, I attended a meeting with the Village Green through a reforestation advisory group that kind of has been reformed. So this whole restoration of the whole campus to make it a reforested critical area, essentially, right? And to fix things that, you know, we know that this is, you know, a well-used and actually an old homestead that was left to the devices of invasive species. We've got a restoration plan that's in place. And so a group of people met and discussed that battle plan, if you will. And so the re-upping efforts to be able to do that. So the Metropolitan Parks District Commission is redoubling their efforts to get this restoration idea completed. And so we've got some ideas for fundraising and things like that. So there'll be more of that to come. But we did brainstorming on how can we get people to help, and, you know, what about Navy crews and all the things that, you know, are typical. So so anyway, that was a really good meeting and very positive. And I think that is pretty much, well, and then I had knee surgery.
Yeah.
So, and he's still laughing and smiling.
And I'm still laughing and smiling. The first few days were not fun, I would say. But I had they gave me a nerve pump, which was, I was really intrigued by this thing, that it went to a nerve bundle that nerves are near where the operative area was. And it blocked that pain where I did not have to take any of the weirdo opiates or anything
at all.
And I was so happy with that. So now it's PT time and exercising 3 times a day with a specific thing. And now I have a cane here and I'll be walking before I know it.
And so you're walking good.
Which is great. And that's all I have.
When you talked about the restoration here last time,
yes.
I went up and walked through
there. Oh, okay, good.
And it looks really good.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to transition through there than it was before.
Yeah.
It's really looking really good.
Well, and some of the things we talked about too is that, you know, we know that we have new stream buffers that are here because of Kingston Creek that's right next door here. And so I explained to the group how the permitting had occurred for that we were able to do buffer reductions, but that we needed to enhance areas that were here, and those enhancement areas are the ones we're trying to fix. So because they're full of, you know, invasive blackberries and holly, you know, other English laurel and things like that too, that are non-native, you know.
Yeah.
So the only non-native we're not going to remove is the Camperdown elm because it's so special. But that's some of our history we have in our community, right? Anyway, all right. Well, that's it for me. And so we have staff reports. Anything going on?
No. Yeah,
Greg, do you want to talk about the... Yeah. You've got some new employees that are summertime help stuff, and
we hired. Thanks for Chris. I'll pull that all together. We hired Rocco Beely out of work release. I'm kidding. He's big, and he comes in. He's doing the he's the dock hand and helping out with on the fuel dock, and he's really been super great. He's really mechanical too, which is kind of nice. Just a great attitude, just a super guy. And then we, today you guys interviewed.
We hired another one today for the landscaping system.
Oh, good. Oh,
so,
cool.
Barring any issues with his background check, he's going to start probably Friday.
Yeah.
Neat.
So that'll be great. And those are good jobs. I just wish, you know, again, we try to get the word out to people, locals, you know. We don't get very many applications, and we're paying, I think, $22 an hour or something, you know, to these folks. I mean, I don't know. I would have gone for it if I was, you know, graduate school. I wish I had a job. So they're pretty good jobs. They're really enjoyable. They're, and you work with a great group of people, you know, very, you know, kindly. It's not a, it's a pretty neat job.
Well, and there's events where it's all hands on deck too. And that's the beauty of it is, you know, you see these young people, you know, understand how to work together and work as a team and that kind of thing. It's just a building block, and you're a you're working for a public agency, which is great.
And and then they're there, you know, during, like, we have the 4th of July, there's always really great events, so it does connect them a little bit more, I think, to the community, even if you grew up here. Like, I was in high school, you know, I did get to enjoy a lot of stuff. I just ended up working all the time, but this way, that I think it really does really connect them, and it's kind of cool, like, if you were going to college and you were going to live back home on the summers, and, you know, you could have a job. You could do it for 4 summers, you know, if that's what you want to do.
Right.
So I would think there would be really a, you know, I just don't, it doesn't, I don't know, we attract, you know, some applicants, but I'm surprised we don't get more.
Yeah.
But hey, I get word out. It, as people have more, you know, and I, it would be nice if we could add more, even more kind of seasonal help for going forward as we can do well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was really, that's great. And then, yeah, I think we already said we hired Susanna May. She grew up, born and raised in Paulsbo, so she's a customer service representative. She's doing a great job.
Yeah.
You know, it's all new and kind of for her, and but I think she's had a really good experience. Honestly, she seems pretty happy. So I think it's kind of nice to have somebody that puts them on track. And, you know, whether or not it's a lifelong or it's a stepping stone, they get, they have a pretty good, it's a really good job. So it's a great entry level, but even mid-career, and you can make, you could do it your whole life if you wanted to.
Yeah,
it just depends on your personal goals. But
so
she's hired, and so we're fully staffed, at the, you know, as of Friday when we get this other gentleman coming in.
Yeah.
The restroom, I want to really thank Rafe Wisham, DCD. We had inspection, give you a checklist, punch list, wrong. But there was one of the issues, which was self-imposed by us. We were going to put in bollards, but bollards are really, you know, pretty unattractive generally. They're functional, but unattractive. And so we decided, you know, that they were going to put in these planters instead of the cement planters to protect the building and delineate the space. It's just aesthetically a lot more appealing too, because they're people plant, you know, they plant stuff, plant them. So, however, the inspector was like, that's not on your drawings, right?
Oh.
So you got to put in these bollards, even though it was self-imposed by us. Like, there's no code requiring any of that, right? However, so I reached out to Rafe, and he was super responsive, came right back to me. So I looked into it, and then within, you know, over the weekend, he came back, and then he said, okay, just reflected on the as-bills.
Oh, yeah.
And really, they, the engineering firm didn't take them out of the drawings when we asked them to, and it was oversight and reviewed, and we didn't notice that those bollards were still in there. So, problem solved. Thank you, Rafe Wisham, DCD. Very appreciative.
Awesome.
Helped us in real time, so it's a big expense that we don't have to incur.
Good, good.
And then, so we're really close to crossing the finish line. We talked to RCO about closing that project out. You know, we did get 3 grants from RCO, separate grants for that bathroom, because they service very a different demographic for each of those grants, right?
Yep.
But that bathroom services all these different types of user groups, it services everybody, right? So they gave us funding from 3 of those different grant programs, so we get a placard for each one of those. So that'll go on the building, and I'm sure there's more wood around, but
I can touch some here.
Wood.
I got it.
You know, one of these days we're going to be completed. And
oh my gosh.
Maybe before the 4th of July this year.
I think so.
Tried for last year. That didn't work.
Yeah, so, no, that didn't.
But it, you know, it's going to turn out pretty well, and I think people will be really happy to have a nice facility. So that's great. Another thing that happened, I did get the letters here. Chris had them ready for me to review. I just didn't get it done. I'd like to get some signatures, a thank you to, there's four, especially four representatives, right, that they voted for funding at the state legislature, funding rural ports.
Oh.
We're a rural port.
Yeah.
Sometimes they add an additional criterion on, which is you have to be economically disadvantaged. We're not, because we have too much water for property.
Right.
So they use median price home as a key metric, but they didn't put that on this one, I don't think. So we were eligible to, or at least the second round of funding that they opened up, out of the $5 million that was allocated from state legislature, mm-hmm. they released about $4.5 million, but there was about $500,000 left over. They came out to us and said, hey, I kind of whined. And they go, hey, well, we're going to come out, and there's going to be a little bit more money that's going to get released that we didn't get to allocate.
Oh.
So we got $100,000, and that's going to go into repaving
the
whole main parking yeah. area, yeah. restriping it, renumbering everything.
Mm.
And it'll be a big improvement, and it'll crack seal it. So it should give us at least another 10 years out of that. So they gave us $100,000. We had already allocated $80,000. We're going to do it kind of in a phased approach.
Yeah, yeah.
But now we're hoping, depends on kind of what the bids come in at, that we'll get the whole thing done.
That's fantastic.
That was fantastic. And I think that people don't know RCO, they don't really realize or appreciate how that's your tax money, and a lot of it comes from boating fees or different types of fees, you know, but then it gets reallocated and reinvested. And, you know, it's one of the big sources of funding for Port District, is certainly small. But this was an appropriation that Mike Chapman got. So Representative Chapman out of Port Angeles, we'll send a letter of thank you to him, Representative Greg Nance, Representative Tara Simmons, Representative Hanson, I think it is. So we'll get those four letters, and we'll send them a thank you. And then we'll follow up with them to say, hey, here's where some of the money went, and we really appreciate it. And as a transportation hub, it really makes a big deal. It's a big difference for us because it's super expensive. It doesn't generate new revenue, but it preserves existing revenue and maintains our assets in a really good way. Also, I want to thank, I think I called the Army Corps of Engineers. They gave us a letter that says basically there's no further action. But in the letter, they also say, you didn't meet the terms of the permit
for
dredge last time, 2016, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'll connect with them to really be sure what does that really mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it does, the way to read it is that there is no further action. So when we go to get the next permit, which we are going to be going to get a permit, and we're debating if we just want to do a nationwide, which is project by project.
Right.
So we'll do a nationwide, just do a specific project to replace some of the old pilings that are bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or go in and try to get a programmatic maintenance permit, which could be a little bit more ambitious. So we're going to go look at some other people that have got these programmatic permits, see what they did. But those are umbrella permits for all of your facilities if you include it all in there.
Yeah.
Then we can just go do the work, whatever we need to do,
without
anybody
timing,
getting
yeah.
upset or yeah. you know coming after us for any reason.
Yeah, yeah.
They were going to send you their templates for those, weren't they?
Well,
did they?
No, but it's like a FOIA request.
Okay.
So they turned it into a FOIA request. That's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then they charge us, you know, and it's got like $1,000. So it maybe it's worth it, but we know the ports that have it. So I'm just going to reach out to the ports instead of doing a public record request and mm-hmm. come to get their copy of their permits.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But anyway, that was, that's very good. I do have to reach out to the U.S. Navy, sit down with them and just to make sure it's documented and we close out. It's done. There's, you know, the term is passed on that lawsuit, but just to be sure that we have a letter of closure.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
So those are good things. Those are very good things, and I'm really appreciative because, you know, it is really hard. You know, some of the regulatory agencies, you know, they can be very tough if they want it to be. So I'd have to say I really want to thank them to help us be able to navigate to get across the finish line on some of these issues. I really appreciate these you know, state representatives when they, you know, get some funding that gets out into the areas where we don't get funding. You know,
yes.
We're unincorporated Kitsap County, they're running a big deficit. So it's like, you know, it's been hard to feel low.
Less pieces of pie, for sure.
But that's a really good program. And there's going to be, he's coming up with it, he's going to do it again next year, or this legislative session. So we're getting ready this time to be like, have projects that are shovel ready. And most of the other, a lot of the other ones, they asked for about $750,000 to $1 million. And there was, so it was $5 million. So there's about, you know, five of those projects got approved.
Oh, right.
And then they had about $500,000 left. And that's where we got the $100,000.
That's where that
$100,000 to us is like,
oh,
that
yeah.
goes off our bottom line, you know, otherwise we'd have to pull it right out of our NOI.
Yep.
And,
that's huge.
You know, we're trying to build the cash inflows. We'll come through the budget. I feel, you know, you have like possible, you have buckets of plausible, and then you have really get a probable. And I kind of feel like we've gone over these years where, yeah, there was a lot of possibilities. Conceptually, we could come up with things to be able to get us so that we're financially, you know, sustainable, mm-hmm. and, you know, perpetuity. But then they became plausible, you know, because they're more likely. And now, you know, to be honest, I feel like they're probable. I think we're, you know, I'm optimistic by nature, but mm-hmm. I'm humbled all the time. So sometimes you think, you know, this is going to happen, and it's taken many more years than I expected, but I do really feel it's within our control, most of this, to be able to achieve that goal of financial sustainability and perpetuity. Mm-hmm. And then we're just going to have to be really, really, really super diligent when we want to do any sort of development. I mean, and I did attend the key board meeting, and I would say the one thing that they felt like what the discussion was what do you want Kitsap to be? Which goes to issues like NKU, right? What do you want Kitsap to be? Because that service is all of Kitsap County and everybody in Kitsap County. And it helps with economic development. And the people were really concerned about the direction everything is going within the overall economy, certainly the direction within the state and the huge deficits at the state level, but also even at the county. And you know, you have to proactively create, go out of your way to promote and nurture business opportunities, mm-hmm. and development opportunities. Mm-hmm. You have to have a path forward. So, you know, they said, you know, they felt, well, what was the biggest challenge everybody kind of like just came up with was just permitting was just very difficult. They felt like that was kind of was a concern. And also if it becomes, if it gets overregulated between the state or any other regulatory agencies, mm-hmm. that just creates, it's like they talked about at KRCC, you're creating an overall environment which is just not going to be conducive. You want to go the opposite direction, and especially if the economy, if we look at it where, you know, the thing I'm hearing from people is at 2030, a lot of major, you know, I don't know, maybe the crystal ball's no better than mine, but they kind of feel like 2030, you know, we could end up, if there's something that prompts us, we could end up sliding into, you know, really a not a good economy and go towards, you know, maybe even a depression. It could be a prolonged one. You know, we need to reverse that. A lot of times governments, they spend money, but we also have this huge deficit, right? So yep. you're running into this issue, but that's where the stronger that the port is, the more money that we have to reinvest, especially if things are down, we have money to reinvest in the community right here. So whatever we earn goes back in. We don't get much tax money. We had 240,000 out of the 4 million. So I think the port will have a really, could have a really critical role. So the healthier we are, the more we can help the locals. And there's a lot of things we can do, the ports can do. Sometimes we're asked to do things we can't do. We're not legally allowed, like garbage collection, but we can do other things that we can support that in other ways so that some could free someone else up maybe to be able to provide that
service.
That service.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
great.
Very enthused actually with some of it. We had some really good things that were kind of like hanging over us.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. Super. Any other thoughts? Good of the order? Move along here and we'll announce our next regular meeting is Wednesday, July 29th at, oh, yes.
On the next work session.
Oh, work session. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I got the arena committee meeting and I'm the chair.
Oh, okay.
Kind of have to be.
Oh, yeah, kind of.
On the 14th of July. If we could move that up to July 7th, it's after the 4th. Tuesday, July 7th, if you can look at your schedule.
Is that okay with everybody?
And now Steve's up and around. I need to keep you doing so well.
That's okay for me, I think. Let me make sure. July 7th.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
And so then nothing else before the end of the month?
No, then the 29th, okay. Yeah.
Let me see.
So the work session after
nope, I'm
the
good.
7th, well, is there another one on the
It would be
it would have been
the
on
28th. 14th. It would be the, typically it's the 14th and the 28th. And so the only one that's put on, that I put on here was the next one, which was the 14th. So.
Okay. Oh, I see.
So
28th
right. is still scheduled.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the 14th gets changed to the 7th.
To the 7th.
Exactly. And the 28th is still scheduled?
Yeah.
Yes.
29th.
No, there's a work session on the 28th.
Oh.
And there's the a regular, that's what
okay,
I'm saying.
Thank
there
you.
Is another
yes.
work session. It's just not labeled and listed here on this agenda.
Right.
Right.
Gotcha. But just
but
for
there is one planned.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, that's good. That would yes. be good, actually.
And we have a conference, court conference, starting July 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
In Wenatchee.
In Wenatchee. Are you planning on going, Steve?
I am gonna try to go. I booked it, but I. If something goes pear-shaped, I don't know. Now,
okay.
So.
Pear-shaped. Like that.
Yeah. That's a.
Okay, so we are going to move it to the 7th. So I will notify or check
oh,
with
here.
Village
yeah,
Green
yeah, 7th.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
To make sure that
to we firm that up, yeah. yeah. Okay. And then just for the good of the order, the next. Regular meeting. God, I'm terrible. Wednesday, July 29th here at 6:30. And that is all, folks.
All right.
It's perfect.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Super.
I second that.
Very good. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
What time?
Aye.
It is.
5:57.
Yep. Nice. 5:57. And let me turn this. Let's see here. Hit stop.